week. and I can see this, you know, right? I know that we don't all have the same experience, but sometimes we have some days, and sometimes we have some weeks, sometimes we have months, sometimes we have seasons, right, in life that are difficult, and it just doesn't go along with anything that we have in our minds of how things should be. This week for me has been one of those weeks. I've struggled. I mean, it's been a struggle from the beginning. And I can tell you, even this morning, I was experiencing that. I was looking at my iPad for the sermon, and guess what? So yeah, it happened again. And it's just been all week long. It's been like that. I mean, just struggling. And the thing about it is that usually, you know, we have issues in relationships, right, with others. And that's when we really struggle. But imagine having issues in relationships that are static, inanimate, computers. Those are the worst, right? Because, you know, in human relationships, at least we sort of know what to expect. But computers, man, I'm telling you, they throw you a curve when you least expect it. It's what's also interesting is that we sort of assume certain things when things are not going our way, right? I'll tell you just a short story. Last year, most of you know, I went to New Mexico, right? For a few days, I drove down my motorcycle. It was a great ride. Got wet, rained. It was, beautiful views and everything. And when I got home, upon my return, I thought that everything was fine. The next thing I went on my motorcycle, and the next time I tried to crank my motorcycle on, I heard this click sound. I'm like, my God, I must have ruined the engine. Well, guess what? I set my motorcycle aside, and I started to work on that in my mind. Well, what does that mean? Do I have to get a new engine? Do I have to fix it? How much will it cost? Right? And all winter, he was my idea of the situation. And it was working. And it was working in me, right? Because, of course, you're concerned. Now, I don't have a ride. Well, yesterday, I asked my wife to assist me. I checked the oil, everything was fine. I charged the battery, everything was fine. I cranked the motorcycle, everything is fine. Nothing was wrong. Now, imagine that, since last August, up to yesterday, I had written a book about how things were going to go, right? But none of that was true. Interesting, right? And sometimes that's the way that things go in our lives. We have a perception of things that may not be real, but we run with it. And this week, again, with these computers, I'm telling you, I'm trying to get some things done with computers at home and here at the church, and nothing was working. Nothing was working. And I'm saying, well, this is it has to work. It has to, because I'm logical like that, right? Nothing. And here I am frustrated all week long because these things are not working out, and that's stealing my peace and my joy. And I wonder if that happens with relationships in our lives as well. Our children, our friends, I mean, even people in the congregation, right? Let's be real. Don't we sometimes have a perception of things and we run with that? And we forget about what's real? It's in the context of those things that I like to read this passage with you this morning. We know love by this. This is in 1 John 3, verse 16. That he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children. Don't you love that when he addresses it like that? Little children, let us love. Not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we'll reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Amen. I think there's one more verse, isn't there? Wasn't it? Did I read it all, Regina?
Yes.
Did I? Okay. I don't know if you gathered this idea and this passage. We've been just going through 1 John, and after going through Mark, which is, again, that action-oriented gospel, and knowing that John just wants us to make us think and wants us to meditate upon reality and upon what God means and what does God's love mean for us. We hear him again addressing us with some challenges. He first tells us, we know love. Do you know love? We know love by this. And he defines that for us. That he, Jesus Christ, laid down his life. And again, you know, there's many ideas of what love should be. Love should be acceptance. Love should be that things go my way. Love should be that you pay attention to me because I'm the only one that really deserves it. You know, love can mean so many things for us that sometimes we get confused. Sometimes, again, we have the wrong perception of what is at the root of the matter. And John just wants us to be, number one, encouraged, but also to be aware. To be aware that love starts in the giving. In the giving of the self. And for Jesus, it was giving of his life on our behalf. And of course, there's a second part to all that, because with every action has a what?
Reaction.
A reaction, right? There's something to follow God's action towards us, and that is that we then should lay down our lives for the other. Now, that's, of course, when we all say, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I'm not God, right? Come on now. I'm not God. I can't really do that. Because really, God did that because God is all powerful. We've even heard that, right? It's the power of his love is the one that really does what needs to be done. I ain't got it. But maybe our perception is off. Maybe we're working off that model that I was working off with my motorcycle. Maybe we're working on that story that is in our minds and that is not necessarily real. Because when God sent his son so that he could die for us, so that he would rise up again, you see, that rising is the good news, right? That is the life. So we know that God is love. And we know that God sent his son. And we know that Jesus died on Friday. That's why we call it
Good Friday.
Good Friday is good. Is death good? But we call it good somehow, right? Because we know that that had to come so that then Easter would come, right? Resurrection Day comes along. And we celebrate it. Amen? And then we go back to the old story. We celebrate new life, but we don't necessarily pick that up in our lives and say, hey, there's still Pentecost. There's still that spirit coming along. I don't know if you realize this. Do you know that the life of the Christian is about waiting? Anybody? I mean, we wait for Christmas, right? Some people say that we celebrate Christmas every day. True. But we wait then for, in our case, the Three Kings Day, Epiphany, right? We do that in Puerto Rico. We do that. And then we wait for Easter. And then we wait for Pentecost. And then we wait for Christmas again. We're always waiting for something. Something is coming, right? We call Advent that season of waiting for the Lord. Christianity seems to be always about waiting for something else when that something else is already here. So I guess the thing here is to wait for what's coming, but living as if his has come already. Interesting, right? God lays down his life. And hear what it says here. Verse 19. By this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. Ah! When I was reading this, I was sort of saying, oh, well, this is exactly what happens to me. Anyone? I mean, because somehow my mind doesn't work as it should. Maybe it's my advanced age. It doesn't happen with my wife. She's cool. Maybe it is this perception of things. Or maybe it's even the evil one, right? That tries continually to bring that to forth. You're not whole. You're not complete. You don't have what it takes. You are not loved. I mean, do you hear those messages sometimes? Who do you think you are? That you can say that you're a Christian when you don't do these things? I mean, there's a story in our minds going on. And sometimes we are deceived. We will know that we are from the truth and we reassure our hearts before Him whenever our heart condemns us. For God is what? Greater. Come on, people. It's there. We just read it. God is greater than our hearts. I don't know if you read that. Was it up there? Maybe I missed it. God is greater than our hearts. I just want you to hear that today. God is greater than our hearts. In a world and in a culture when everything is about us. Self-realization, I mean, that was in the 60s and 70s, right? No, it's still going on. Yeah, it's coming back, right? I mean, being all that you can be, oh, that's the army, I'm sorry. But, you know, that individualism that is fostered in this nation, that you can do it, and you don't need anybody else, but you do, right? I mean, all this stuff comes into play. He wants just to say, yeah, it's all about you, but you don't have it. You don't have what it takes. Anybody's been listening about Puerto Rico? Paying attention to the news? You know what happened this week? Power went out, right? Again, right? So almost the 30-35% of people have been living without power for 6 months. They got joined by the whole island. You know what the biggest problem in Puerto Rico is right now? It's not electricity. You know what the biggest problem is? Depression. You know why? There's no hope. And whenever something like this happens, you know, you think that things are going the right way, and all of a sudden, boom, bottom just falls out. People get anxious. And maybe sometimes that happens to us. Maybe that's the thing about perception. And it's so difficult for us to keep it on the real when we have all these things going on. Right? When my friend doesn't talk to me today or in a week, we're sort of saying, okay, what happened here? You know, when our children don't call, and saying, hey, what's going on? You know, when our parents are not responding to, you know, our calls or whatever. Hey, what's happening? When our brothers or sisters are going through some difficulty and they sort of isolate themselves, we're sort of, hey, what's going on here? And because everything is about me, we start thinking, well, they must not like me. Maybe I'm not loved anymore. And John stresses this. And note how he addresses us. He doesn't address us, hello, adults. He says, little children. Right? He doesn't say, hi, you mature people. He says, little children. That stuck with me. It's as if saying, it's like we are not growing up, right? That's the normalcy of our lives. It's like we're stuck. It says, little children, let us love. Let us love. Don't be fooled by your hearts. Don't be fooled by that story. Don't be fooled by the book that's being created in some of our minds about how things are. Because our perception might be skewed. Are you with me? Our perception of things might not be the right one. And this is truth. God loves you. Right? This is truth. God loves you, and there is nothing that can separate any of us from His love. Nothing. Nothing. So when you feel down about yourself, about things around you, remember, know this, that God loves you. And that love comes with a lot of benefits. And it comes with a power that will, in essence, lift you up from wherever you are. Because God is greater. He's greater than your heart. He's greater than your mind. And I don't know, I was, this morning when you started singing, I was just saying, how is it that we worship for real? How can we say to God in Christ, we love you? I have no words. But when we're singing that song, you know, the power of your Lord, of your love, it just made me think about how important that relationship is. And acknowledging that He does love us. Because when we acknowledge that He does love us, then we're free. We are freed from all the thoughts. We're freed from all the things that may hold us down, free to love Him back. Amen. Amen? Amen? Free to love Him back. And we love Him back by loving another. And I don't know, this guy, John, it's one of those writers that He can get in this in your brain and make you go like this and then like that. But there is some truth behind his words that we just need to be able to live. Maybe we can get ready to sing our invitation song. Today, it's a little bit of a quote-unquote spiritual. Anybody out here that doesn't live in the spirit, right now, do you have like